Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11. Leviticus 17:11, and it says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." Let's pray. Father in heaven, even though I've even heard some that profess to know Christ as Savior have said that the blood does not make a difference, that we don't need the shedding of blood to cover our sins. And yet, that's contrary to what your word tells us. Father, this morning I know in my heart that your word tells us that without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sin, that without Jesus Christ coming and laying down his life, shedding his blood to cover my sins and the sins of every single human being that walked this earth, all those who have been born, all of those who have been conceived, Father, without that shedding of blood, there would be no cover for our sins. So I thank you for what you've done on the behalf of not just myself, but all of mankind. Looking forward to what you have for us in this message, Father, as we look and see how precious the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The blood of Jesus pumps through the body of Christianity. That blood of Christ flows through the body of Christianity and it keeps it alive. The blood flows through the Bible just like it did through our veins. Cut the Bible anywhere and it will bleed. The blood is spoken of 427 times. 427 times in the Bible. It's not a minor theme. It's very important. And I remember years ago, one of the men of God back then, I thought, he was very, very, very big on the Bible and very big on the blood of Jesus Christ and all. And all of a sudden, one day, he came out against the blood. I was crushed. This is a man I looked up to. A man that helped me in my walk. And he said, "I've been wrong. We don't need the blood." I was crushed. I thought, how could this happen? How could this happen that somebody who has studied the Bible most of his life, he was in his 80s, someone I looked up to, and all of a sudden, he made a statement that came all of that crashing down. This morning, I want to show us that we do need the blood. Without the blood, the gospel is dead and we are deprived of eternal life. We need the blood. Jesus said over in Matthew 26:28, if you'll turn there with me. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28, it says, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Paul added, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, as I mentioned earlier. He also explained in Colossians 1:14, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Peter added in 1 Peter 1:18, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers." Over and over and over we see the blood, the blood, the blood. It's important that we have that blood because it's what cleanses us from all our sin. John agreed with Peter and Paul when he wrote over in 1 John, if you'll turn there. 1 John 1:7. First John chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." The early church understood the blood. They understood. There's all the sermons recorded in Acts by the four preachers. All give the same message, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They understood that his death and the provision of the covering by the blood was the essential ingredient of the gospel. They understood that. Can you see the portrait of the blood? The Bible paints in broad strokes for us the blood on a canvas, and then in a minute detail, the Word of God breaks it all down, all the way to the cellular level, the importance of the blood of Christ. It's very important. What's even more important is that that blood is applied to our lives. The blood of Christ, as we put it under a microscope and we do a forensic study of it, we'll get a complete picture, a portrait of the blood. So first of all, in analysis, the blood is perfect. You see, it had to be perfect. It had to be without blemish and without spot. The virgin birth of Christ establishes his righteousness. Judas cried out, "I have betrayed innocent blood." Would have been nice that if Judas had gotten saved, right? Paul explained, "For he, God, hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us," right? He knew no sin, but God made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Pilate said, "I find no fault in him." Right? I find no fault at all in the Lord Jesus Christ. He found no fault in him. Jesus himself said, "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" He was spoken of as holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Also, he did no sin. In fact, John added, "In him was no sin." He was perfect. A natural father would have imparted sin in him. That sin nature of Adam would have been imputed to Christ, had he had a natural father. And he would not have been able to provide redemption for all mankind. The virgin birth is absolutely essential in the salvation of souls. Without it, Jesus would have come and just took on the sin nature that the rest of us have. But there had to be a perfect sacrifice. The Bible clearly teaches that Jesus was born of a virgin and did not have original sin. Clearly, Matthew quotes Isaiah the prophet in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, it says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. Jeremiah the prophet spoke in years before on this. He said, "How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man." Jeremiah 31:22. It certainly was a new thing for a woman without a man to give birth to a child. Be quite an experience, don't you think? I mean, just quite the experience where, let me just say, even though man thinks that we can continue to do that, no, God's done it once, and it's not going to happen again. The Adamic nature is passed on to the offspring by the bloodline of the man. There were no impurities in the blood of Jesus Christ. None at all. Everything about Christ was perfect, including his blood. Every last bit of him. Then number two, in application, the blood is pure. Pure. One of the reasons that during our Lord's Supper time we use 100% grape juice is because we don't use the wine, because wine has to ferment, has to decay. And that I don't drink alcohol, obviously, but can you imagine putting something into your system that had to decay? I don't know, it just gives me this idea of, kind of makes me wonder, would somebody, if you had a glass with something in it, and there was green stuff floating all over the top of it, with some fuzzy stuff on it, talking about mold, would you just drink that down? I think I would say, I don't want any part of that. But see, it has to decay for it to become wine. Yuck. That rotting process is a picture of sin. Why would we use that? Now, I could tell you, I've had people in the past say, "I don't know why you're so hung up on grape juice. It was wine, clearly, in the Bible." And I said, "Show me one time, just once, in the Bible, where it says, during the Lord's Supper, that it was wine." You'll be hard-pressed to find it, because it's not in there. It says, the fruit of the vine and the cup. The reply came back, "That's not true." Search it. See, they don't want to search to find the truth. And when you give them the truth, they don't want to believe it because they don't want to give up their wine, right? The problem is why would God use a picture of something that was decaying to represent his perfect, sinless blood? The answer is he wouldn't. Could never give the proper picture of the sinless blood of Christ. All that is holy, Satan has counterfeited. We're going through that on Thursday nights, all the counterfeit stuff of Satan. We're about to embark on the counterfeit Bible that Satan has been involved in. That'll be coming up in the weeks ahead for sure, starting very soon. Then Satan has a counterfeit. He also has a counterfeit for the Lord's Supper as well. There's no exceptions to the counterfeiting that Satan is up to. Pure grape juice is the true symbol of the pure blood of the Lord Jesus, just as the bread is to be without leaven. Cancer patients sometimes go through a process called chelation, similar to dialysis, where the blood is removed and it's purified and then it's sent back through. It's cleansed as it comes out and it goes back through and then it goes back to the body. And it can help prolong their lives. After blood has been purged of the germs, disease, and bad cells, it is then able to work against the enemy cells that war against them. Has to be cleansed. Look over at Hebrews chapter 9, please. Verses 13 through 14. Says, for if the blood of bulls and of goats, and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? When the pure blood of the Savior is applied to the sinner, it provides cleansing. Cleansing. John explained it in 1 John chapter 1, 7, the last part of that, when it says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us all. And I think of the hymn, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And then he goes on, oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. See, even though Satan's out there wanting to diminish the fact that the blood is essential to salvation, and many people are buying into that, by the way, if you can take a man that the majority of his life, he hits his 80s, changes his stance on that, you know Satan's at work. Satan's doing things to mess us up. And you know, we say, well, I'm never going to change my stance. Be careful. Be careful. We get lifted up in pride. You don't know who I am. Yeah, I do. We're sinners saved by grace. And thank God we are. But let's not get so lifted up in pride we think we're something. Because we might be that one that denies the blood if we're not careful. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, 18 and 19 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter penned this for us in verse 18, says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Because it's pure, it's purifying. Then number three, in action, the blood is perpetual. Perpetual. The animal sacrifices in the Old Testament just rolled their sins forward, looking to the time of Christ. And they had to do that year after year after year after year. It was a continual thing. They had to keep doing it. And we all know, as I've said many times, we know the last thing I want to have to do is do a blood sacrifice, right? Right before I pass out, right? It's just not going to happen. Thank God I don't have to deal with that. Thank God he's made a way that I don't have to do that. Because you see, the blood of bulls and goats provided forgiveness in part temporarily. Only temporarily, as it pointed to the sacrifice that Jesus Christ himself would make. His blood being shed for the covering of our sin. Look at Hebrews chapter 7. We're going to look at four verses in Hebrews here, starting in verse 27 of chapter 7. It says, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's? For this he did once, when he offered up himself. Then look at verse 12 of chapter 9. It says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And drop down to verse 26 of that same chapter. It says, for then must Chapter 9, verse 26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And then chapter 10 and verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. See, this sacrifice, the death of Christ, set into motion this continuous cleansing once for all. It's amazing. You trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, and his shed blood cleanses all your sins. One time. One sacrifice. One giving of the blood, the shedding of his blood. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Bible speaks of the blood of the everlasting covenant. Our faith in his blood is all it takes to settle it forever and ever. Talking to people, they believe you can lose your salvation. So then Jesus would have to be crucified all over again, right? But that's not what the Bible teaches. I don't know about you, but I like the fact that eternal life is eternal, right? Trying to explain to him, how can eternal life be eternal if it's not eternal? That'll mess you up, right? How could you have eternal life if it's not eternal? And why would God, who cannot lie, tell us he gives us eternal life and then we could lose it? See, again, Satan's at work trying to convince people that the Word of God is not true. Number four, in accomplishment, the blood is powerful. The songwriter wrote, would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Right? Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There's power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Look over at Revelation 5:9. Revelation 5:9, please. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9 says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. It takes amazing power to do that, and there's power in the blood. We are told that they overcame the wicked one, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb. Takes a lot of power to do that too. False religion has always denied the blood and its power. Always. They don't want to believe that you have to be under the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. They don't want to believe that. They want to believe what they want to believe. They want to believe you can get to God the Father many different directions. And as some people have told me in the past, we all believe in the same God. No, we don't. I'm sorry, but that's a false statement. We do not all believe in the same God. If you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we believe in the same God. But not everybody in the world believes in the same God. It's obvious. It should be obvious to everyone. Mary Baker Eddy of the Christian Science Movement wrote this, and I quote, "The material blood of Jesus is no more efficacious to cleanse from sin when it was shed upon the cursed tree than when it was flowing through his veins." Unquote. Well, she needed Christ. R.B. Thiem, a Bible teacher in Texas, declared this, and I quote, "The red liquid that ran through the veins and arteries of Jesus' mortal body is not related to our salvation," end quote. That boy's lost. How can you say that? Because he's not trusting in the blood. Not trusting in what Christ's done. I can say he's not saved based on what the Bible teaches. Of course, these teachers and many like them stand in complete opposition to the Bible that declares without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Period. In acquittal, number five, in acquittal, the blood is permanent. Acquit is a heavy word. It means to pay off, to free, to clear, to absolve. It has a far-reaching meaning extending from the past all the way to the future. I'm going to step back in time some. Some of us will remember the O.J. Simpson thing. O.J. Simpson was acquitted. I don't care if you believe he's guilty or not. That's irrelevant, right? He was acquitted. They can never, ever, ever charge him with that murder case again. Been acquitted. They just can't. No matter what they do, even if new evidence is presented, they still cannot charge him again. Interesting, huh? You and I are guilty, and we know it, right? Some will deny it, but we are guilty and we know it. And we do not want justice, right? I can tell you, I want mercy. What's justice say? For the wages of sin is death. I want mercy. Mercy. And we need it to be permanent. I need my sins to be forgiven and, as God says, forgotten. I like the fact that the Bible tells us His mercies are new every morning. I need that mercy. Not only our past sin was covered, but also our present sin and our future sins. Yeah. All under the blood. All under the blood. Jesus' blood cleanses from our past sins. Isaiah 44:22. Let's turn over to Isaiah 44:22, please. Isaiah 44:22 says, "I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee." David spoke to us when he stated, as far as the east is from the west, right? As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And he promised never to remember them anymore. Jesus' blood covers our present sins, both the sins of omission and the sins of commission. The things that we know we're supposed to do and we're not doing, right? And then the things we are doing that we know we shouldn't also. So we know, right? We know there's things we should be doing and we're not. We're saying, I'm just not going to do that. God says, that's not up for debate, right? I didn't give you an option. I said, these are things you will do. And we say, but I don't want to, right? I wonder if God sits on his throne and says, change your want to. Yeah, change your want to. But then we do things that we know we should not be involved in, and we just do them anyway. And they're all covered by the blood. And Jesus' blood continues to atone for future sins. This is not to say that we just go ahead and sin all we want, right? There's a bunch of them out there that say, I can sin all I want. Well, they're covered in the blood. Well, that's the wrong attitude. And by the way, somebody who's truly saved doesn't have that attitude. Because they'll look at the fact of what Jesus went through to save them from their sins and say, he died the death he died for those sins that I'm committing. And see, when we look at our sin and we say, this is what caused our Savior to have to come and lay down his life so we could have eternal life. I think if we looked at every sin that we were about to commit, we said, whoa, time out. Jesus had to die for that. It might give us a different idea of whether or not we want to continue on with that sin. But instead we say, it's covered in the blood. Thank God, when we do sin, we don't have to get saved all over again. Should we confess it to God? Of course we should. We should get right with Him. And then continue to walk through this life with Him. As we walk through this life, we're going to need daily foot washing. But thank God, that one time all over bath, we don't need. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, because Jesus' blood conquers all sin. Then number six, in appraisal, the blood is precious. We love to sing, oh, precious is the flow, right? That makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. We like to sing that. Peter used the term precious to describe in 1 Peter 1:19. He describes the precious blood of Jesus Christ with these words in 1 Peter 1:19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Yeah, without blemish and without spot. Then number seven, in aggression, the blood is protective. In Exodus chapter 12, the blood was sprinkled, right, on the doorposts. When he saw the blood, he passed over. Because it protected them. Those Jewish households, when God instructed them to put that blood on those doorposts and all so that the death angel would pass over, it was protecting them from that judgment of death to the firstborn. The Jews were protected by the blood. It was actually their faith that brought protection. Their faith. They believed the word of God that was given by Moses. They believed that. They believed it enough to act upon it. By following the directions that the Lord instructed, they reaped a great benefit. Let's look at Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13. Exodus 12:13, where God says, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." We still speak of being under the blood, right? Under the blood. The judgment will not fall on those who have placed their faith in Christ and accepted Him as Lord and Savior of their life. You've not gotten under the protection of the blood of Christ. There's still time. While we have breath, there's still time. Thank God, there's still time before the death angel comes to your house. Then Matthew chapter 26, and we'll end with this. Matthew 26, verses 26 through 30. Says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sin. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.' And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." So did you get the picture today? Did we see Christ's blood? More importantly, can God see it? If not, if He sees you without the blood of Christ, He sees your sin. Make sure you're covered. Remember, one application is all it takes. The blood of Jesus Christ is precious. The blood of Jesus Christ is what covers our sin. It's the blood. No matter how much Satan wants to make us believe a lie, the Bible tells us the blood, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, is what it took to redeem us, to save us from our sins. Let's pray.